Hi, welcome to Happier Ladies, a podcast where we discuss all things related to the Happier and Happier in Hollywood podcasts.
We're sisters
and super fans
who can't get enough happier.
So we created our own podcast to keep the conversation going.
I'm Malika Amandi, a SoCal native living in Western Massachusetts, a new mom, and an entrepreneur. I'm here with my sister, Azizi Williams.
That's me. I live and work in the LA area. I'm a not-so-new mom, and I'm an education professional in the independent school world.
In this episode, we'll consult the calendar of catalysts, and later we'll have a media moment. But first, Azizi, I heard you're going away soon.
I am. I leave tomorrow. It's kind of bananas, but I'm going to New Orleans for 5 days with Sanai.
Fun. Yeah. Is this a part of your spring break?
Sort of. So I'm wrapping up my spring break. I'm sad about that, but have had a lovely time. And now I'm going to be meeting up with one of the classes at my school. They're having a school trip to New Orleans and they're doing a deep dive into jazz. So I get to tag along with them and I'm bringing my daughter and we're going to go to museums and hear storytellers and experience the culture of New Orleans. So I'm going to do that alongside fifth and sixth graders. And then in the evenings, I'll get to just hang out with Sanai and we'll have some time exploring New Orleans on our own. So
that sounds so fun.
It's going to be fun. I'll sprinkle a little work in. There'll be some meetings. There'll be some emails. But it's fun to get away and to visit a new city. So it's actually not new because we've been there before. 2 years ago, Sanai and I and my husband Grayson went when I had to do some work there. And we fell in love with it. It was all of us loved it, every bit of it. And so it's exciting to return. And as I'm getting ready, I was thinking back to like, what were those places that we visited? Where did we eat? I couldn't really remember. And I went back to my journal from that time and I did a whole recap of the whole trip, including the names of the restaurants that we ate at and what I ordered. And I was like,
that's amazing.
Wow, a gold star to my past self for setting me up so well now. So I at least know the places I want to return to. Yeah.
That's so fun. Oh, I can't wait to hear all about it and see the pictures.
Take lots of pictures. Now I'm a person who takes pictures of my food. So I will send you some pictures of what I eat.
Good. We have an illustration of beignets in our dining room.
Right. I forgot about that.
A wedding gift that we selected that's from Café du Monde. It's not from Café du Monde, but it's an illustration of Café du Monde in New Orleans, which is a really famous cafe that sells beignets. And I think about it every day because it's there on my wall.
We will have more than a couple for you. I'll send you an actual picture of beignets from Café du Monde probably tomorrow.
Oh, good.
So Malika, what happened on Happier and More Happier?
On Happier and More Happier, episode 475, Liz and Gretchen urge listeners to write letters in honor of National Letter Writing Month. They offer no-spend strategies from listeners, and they share a lucky way to stay in touch with a friend. In More Happier, they discuss treadmill days versus finish line days. Gretchen talks about April Fool's pranks from the past, and Liz recaps a recent dance party.
So, Malika, what do you do with cards, like with greeting cards? I'm curious if you have a strategy or an approach to this.
It's a little mixed. I do save some if it's like kind of a longer message from somebody close. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I just stick it in an old journal or I will take a picture of it. I do feel like I need a better system. You know, Gretchen has the memento.
Right. The keepsake box.
I really need that or something like that. That's a designated spot for it because it is always a bit of a like, oh, what am I going to do with this when I find them? But I don't want to throw them away, but I don't have a specific spot, but I do sometimes throw them away.
I have no strategy. It's random.
Yeah.
And sometimes they just all get thrown away. I find that I tend to do the same thing with a group of them. Like after a holiday, I'll either save all of them or I'll throw all of them away, but it doesn't make any sense why or what I do with them. And I find they fall into that category that they talked about a few weeks ago of things that are too nice to throw away, right? Yeah. Especially the elaborate cards, regardless of what's inside. there's sequins and bows on them or really lovely illustrations. And it feels like it's too nice to throw away. But then you get so many of them in a lifetime. I don't really revisit them. So I think at one point I thought I'll make some crafts, like these will make good collages or something. But that has not happened in my life yet. So it's unlikely to happen in the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe the momentum keeper is a solution, at least so that it's organized. But I feel like I need some rules about what I save and what I don't. And I like your rule about if there's a nice message inside, if there's like a heartfelt message, then that's something.
Yeah. I don't save just holiday greeting cards because those come every year. And I kind of keep them with the decorations from the last year. And then when the new ones come, I throw them out.
That's a good idea.
But if it's like a birthday message, that's more than happy birthday, you know, that feels a little bit more of a keepsake.
That is nice.
Yeah, I think it's good to have a strategy around it, though.
And the other thing from this episode that I was not shocked, but surprised to hear about was this whole rabbit thing, because I don't think I ever knew that. And I feel like I've been missing out this entire time. Like my life could be so much luckier if I had known that I should be saying rabbit on the first of the month. Not that I will remember it when the first of the month comes, but I would like at least a shot. Did you know about this, Malika?
Oh, yeah. rabbit and I go way back. No, I learned about it from a college roommate. And so while we were living together, we always did it. And then she had a competition with another person in the dorm where they would try to be the first one to say it to each other. They decided that meant they were extra lucky if they said it to the other person somehow before, like by slipping a note under the door that said rabbit, or it was a fun thing. And so with that roommate in particular, over the years, we would sometimes text it to each other. And I think that's kind of how I developed a like for rabbits, because they
started a whole
became
thing.
Auspicious.
So then rabbits became lucky and you were like...
Exactly. And I think you gave me a rabbit figurine once for Christmas or something.
Rabbits roll over your Pinterest board. So I knew you liked rabbits, but I didn't know it stemmed from this rabbit business.
That's where it came from. I've fallen out of it, but I think it's time I get back in. As we're recording this, tomorrow is the first day of the month.
Oh, yeah.
So get on it in the morning.
Okay, well...
Rabbit.
I'm a little hurt that you never rabbited me. How come this whole time I never was the recipient of some rabbit luck? But yes, the better time to start is, you know, 20 years ago. The second best time to start is now. So we'll start this rabbit challenge tomorrow.
Okay, you're on.
All right.
What happened on Happier in Hollywood, Azizi?
On Happier in Hollywood, episode 359, Liz and Sarah share all about bake-offs. They discuss the proper way to respond when given a compliment. They talk about another possible strike in Hollywood, and Sarah shares about clear mascara gel.
What stood out to you in this episode, Azizi?
I really thought about the how to take a compliment, and I was curious about how you are with taking a compliment.
I think I'm really good. I usually say thank you. I think the one caveat is sometimes I am the person who, if somebody says, oh, those are nice shoes, I'll respond with the price.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if that's deflecting, but I'm just excited to kind of brag, you know, that I got this for such a good deal. But I have thought a lot about this, how you receive compliments. And I feel like this was a big part of my coaching work. Mm. So part of my coaching practice was specifically around supporting women who wanted to stop apologizing in the way that they spoke. So I think these things kind of go hand in hand, like saying I'm sorry a lot and also not being able to accept a compliment. Mm. I think Sarah hit it on the head when she said it's so complicated. There's a lot underlying that. And I think it has to do with taking up space to acknowledge that something is good about you or your life or your choices. That takes some confidence to own and to kind of acknowledge your own worth. And I think it's can be much more comfortable or kind of socially acceptable to question that or deflect it or assume that maybe that's not true, or there's like it's not humble to say thank you or something. And I think whether or not somebody actually believes that about themselves, there's just a lot of social norms around it. It's more common to hear people deflecting than just accepting good things about themselves.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like I do fall into that category often of not believing it. And it's not for social norms reasons, I don't think, although I am in society. So I am in the fog that makes up society. So it could be, but it does feel like of my own free will, I don't believe the compliments that come my way sometimes. I guess you could say I'm skeptical a little bit. I'm like, yeah. Okay, you know, maybe. So that is clearly something that I need to work on. And then the other thing, I definitely fall into the category of giving too much information. If they compliment me or something, like going into a whole story or backstory, that's like not necessarily to deflect the compliment. I don't know why. I then say a lot about the story behind how I got the shirt or why my hair looks the way that it does today. I don't know. It's
yes.
When maybe it's just like a thank you. Hard stop. Nothing else.
Well, I will say that I think the tendency to overexplain and the contrast of a hard stop can sometimes feel really awkward. And I'll give an example. This has happened a couple times to me recently about my hair. Somebody will comment on my hair and say, oh, your hair looks so nice. And I say, thank you. And then they say, did you do it yourself? And I say, no. And that's it. Somehow that's become like this brave, bold declaration of like, because I don't explain that I didn't do it myself. Right. I just say, nope. I just answer the question and then continue. And it comes across as, I think, maybe as being rude. I don't know. But I'm just not explaining because that's not something I care to explain. Right. It's funny. It's happened a couple times. And I feel good about the interaction and the way that I handle myself. Because I think if I had explained, I might be disappointed for other reasons. But it does feel like it's bucking a trend or going against what's expected.
That's funny. Good for you. I feel like we should have like a QR code about my hair. If you're curious about my hair, scan this code and it will tell you all about it. The hair journey.
I love
there
that.
Is always a story.
Right.
But you just don't always want to talk about it or you don't care to share it with everyone.
Right.
Oh, wow. So many layers.
So many layers. There's a very funny Amy Schumer video, which is not for all audiences. So if you like Amy Schumer's humor, you would like this video. If not, I wouldn't even look at it. But the premise is that this group of friends, they're kind of meeting up in the city and they're giving each other compliments. And each person like is so self-deprecating and kind of deflecting. And it's into the farce where they're just denying, you know, the compliment. And one person comes along and someone says, oh, your coat looks really cute. And she just says, thank you. And basically everyone else's heads explode. Like they cannot handle it. Like
for that, they literally explode.
Like this very visceral, violent reaction. And they all kind of self-destruct because somebody just said, thank you. One of the other things that they talked about in this episode was a new novel writing software that they've been using for their book and how much it's impacted their writing process. And, you know, I thought of Gretchen's phrase that she says, great tools make work a joy. And I was curious if there are any tools that have been game changers in your work.
I've talked about GoodNotes. So having my iPad and having GoodNotes on my iPad, getting to basically journal, take work notes. It's a very visual platform. Use my stickers and all my fun graphics and things like that. That's really helped me. So I don't have a bazillion journals now like I used to. I just have my iPad. It goes everywhere with me. But then there's also Google Docs, which is just in the Hall of Fame. And that was right for workspaces. And it wasn't something that was widely used in my office before I got there. And it was kind of essential for me and my workflow. And so we've grown it and, you know, the use of shared folders and just as a way for everyone to be on the same page and support communication, that's been really helpful. Another fun tool, which is not new, and I know it's not widely used in my office, but I like to use it, is Padlet. And that's a graphics-based way to create a timeline or to have a virtual bulletin board. People can add to it, comment on it. I think I like these really visual virtual mediums to express ideas and share.
Yeah, I learned about Padlet from you and I totally incorporated that into almost all of my like Zoom workshops that I do. I use a Padlet board and it just takes it to the next level. It's a great interactive kind of space.
Yeah. I mean, we are human beings, are visual people, and more you can convey thoughts and ideas quickly if you could do it in a visually pleasing way. What about you, Malika?
The latest tool that I've just been loving is this app called Notion, and I've talked about it before. So I use it for my personal things, and then I have a separate account that I use for work. And with work, it's just been helpful to have kind of a brain dump, brain map space, and a way to keep track of all my projects and resources and links. And speaking of things being visually pleasing, I use like an emoji for everything. Mm. It just brings a little bit of joy into what might otherwise be
yes.
a list of files. There's like a little emoji for each thing. And I like that I can use it across the Mac world, which I use at home. And then the PC world is what I use at work. And it's kind of seamless. So I think that has helped me feel really organized and creative at the same time. For whatever reason, I know there's a lot of different task managers and productivity tools that are out there, but I feel excited to find one that I love opening and navigating and just having it be on my desktop all day.
Hmm. And is that shared with anyone else or is it just for you?
You can share it with others, but I just use it for myself. Nobody else in my office is using it. So it's just for my personal workspace. We have some other tools that are already in action for shared drives and that kind of thing. Mm. So this is really just for my own use, but I like having it.
Let's check that out.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we will discuss the calendar of catalysts.
Okay, we're back. Our next segment is Consulting the Calendar of Catalysts, where we take inspiration from a date on Gretchen's Calendar of Catalysts. On Gretchen's Calendar of Catalysts for April, April 10th is the 100th day of the year. And so I have been curious about her calendar. I went to her website under resources, found it, and there was a 100th day of the year, but I was curious about what it meant. I couldn't remember. I know that she talked about it before, but I couldn't exactly remember. So then I went to the Happiness Helpline. So this is a plug for Gretchen's Happiness Helpline, which is a very cool tool if you haven't used it yet. I mean, I have talked endlessly about how amazing Gretchen's website is, but she just took it to a new level. So at the bottom, I think it's the right-hand side of the website, there's, I can't remember what the icon is now.
Three little stars.
And you can type in any question you have for Gretchen. And then it spits out all of these resources and answers pulling from everything that she's ever written or discussed. So this is very helpful. Sometimes it could be like finding a needle in a haystack when you're trying to navigate a website. So this just pulls everything that you need and makes it easy to digest. So when I asked about the 100th day of the year, this is what the Happiness Helpline told me. It said the 100th day of the year is an opportunity to take some time to evaluate what's been working well for you in the past 100 days and what areas you'd like to improve on. It's a perfect opportunity to set new goals or adjust your existing ones. Reflecting on your achievements and challenges can provide valuable insights for the next phase of the year. So this was very clear and very exciting. I thought, well, Malika, we should dig into this a little bit.
So Azizi, what has worked for you so far this year? Are there any highlights?
It's interesting because it's basically the first quarter of the year or first quintile of the year, I should say, because I'm doing the quintile planning. So January, February, March, that pretty much makes up the first 100 days of the year. And when I think about it that way, I look back and it's maybe the most intense period of work for me. And I've talked about this before over the last few episodes, just how busy I've been. But it's good to remember that and to mark that time as extremely busy with work so that I can be kind to myself as I think about the new year. I think I go into the new year, as many of us do, with like all of these goals and everything's going to be different. And it's, you know, all yes. these personal accomplishments that you want to make. But then the reality of what your work life is actually matters. So I want to remember to be kind to myself and not to plan anything difficult. But that said, there are some things that I've made some progress on. And, you know, I've been able to cross off some of the things on my 24 for 24 list. I've had the most traction with, I think, the things around energy. And we just had that month of energy. I think that was in February. And so things like leaving my phone out of the bedroom has been really effective and helps me to have better habits around sleep. Getting acupuncture was really exciting. I've had 3 sessions now, and that's improved some things health-wise. So there are some things that have definitely worked that I'm proud of for the first 100 days of the year. What about you, Malika?
Well, first, I just have to applaud you. There's so many good wins in there. And I think that's really smart to keep track or remember that professionally, this is the season that is the hardest. And maybe giving yourself extra treats during that time of the year mm-hmm. next year will be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, I feel like it's still a brave new world navigating, working full time and child in daycare. This time last year, I was just really delving into being at home by myself with the baby all day.
Mm.
I mean, it's such a different reality. So I think what's been working this year in this 100 days has been taking turns with my husband, Norm, throughout the week in terms of caring for our son so that the other person can go to the gym or meet up with a friend or something like that. When we do that, it takes a lot of planning and intentionality, but when we do it, it feels really, really good. And that's something that I want to kind of keep putting in the time to set up because I think it's helpful for both of us. So far, the yogi year is going well. I've been going to more classes than I did in the past, and that feels good. And then one of the things on my 24 for 24 list was romanticizing the weekend, which is a little bit vague, but I feel like it's going well. Like I'm coming on to tools that are working. So one thing that really helps is making plans ahead of time, like with another family or even just for us.
Mm-hmm.
But before the nap time, having an activity and then knowing what's happening after the activity or after the nap. And then I've also found that kind of having a book to read. This is brand new, coming back into reading.
Okay.
Not just any book, but having a fiction book to read. That feels really luxurious. Like even in the nooks and crannies, like for instance, if Indigo falls asleep in the car and I'm pulled over while he's sleeping, like reading a book in that time instead of my default before had been to make my lists and be productive, check things off, you know, anything I could do on my phone. But just choosing to instead have a romantic weekend in those moments has made a big difference.
I love that. A book.
Book, imagine that.
What about that? That does sound romantic. Off the side of a country road while your child is sleeping, reading some fiction. All of that sounds amazing. I love that. And I have to say that your yogi year is also my yogi year because there's something about like the goals of people close to you kind of rub off on you. And so there have been quite a few times where I've thought, this is the yoga, or when I'm trying something yoga related. So that's been huge. Kudos to you.
Thank you. What do you feel like is not working?
Well, related to it being the busiest time of year for me and the most intense time of year, there was so much worry and anxiety, just way too much worry and anxiety. And it's something that I really need to figure out how to put into check because it's not helpful. It doesn't help anyone and it's not useful. So it's something that I want to think about. Too much scrolling, you know, time wasted. I could be reading fiction and I am scrolling. So it's something I want to work on. I've had 0 massages. I had a goal to have one every month. I've had 0. So I need to think more about why that is because I know I like them and I don't know why I don't have the inertia to get it. And I want to add in more meditation. Again, back to the worry and anxiety. That is something I know helps me if I take 10 minutes at the beginning of the day to meditate using the Calm app or some other tool. And then just remembering my word of the year is soar. I use soar and, you know, thinking of a bird and flight and just really reaching and being aspirational and going above and beyond. It's not something that's really been present in my mind. And maybe I need to do more work around defining exactly what it is or how I know I'm doing it. But those are some things that I think I want to work on moving forward.
Okay.
What about you, Malika? What's not working for you?
Well, I also had a couple of the monthly goals on my 24 for 24 have not really gelled yet. So one goal was to see a live performance every month, and I haven't seen any yet this year. I think maybe going to the movies can replace that. I've only gone to the movies once, but I feel like I got a lot of the feelings that I want from a live performance. That feels like an easier bar to hit.
Yeah.
I think we need a deeper childcare bench. Got like a couple really solid babysitters, but they have lives, you know, they're not always available.
How dare they?
And then there's certain situations like Indigo's sick, but not so sick that he's really contagious, but sick enough that he can't go back to daycare. And that's been really hard to juggle without Norm or I having to take off work. So this is like a bigger systemic thing that I think this is the time in our lives to figure this out. Like, I don't think this is going to get easier in the next 3 to 5 years. So together we need to figure out meeting more people who could help out. So the yogi year is going well. And I'm also not sure if I'm getting enough exercise because the yoga that I do tends to be very gentle and relaxing. There's nothing wrong with that. I love that. But there have been other times in my life when I've had more cardio and a little more rigor in terms of exercising, and that has felt good physically. Mm. And I think I've just, because of my foot and circumstances, have just kind of fallen out of that. And so it feels really hard to get back into it. But I think it could be helpful to have some goals, or at least try to start doing some kind of cardio, maybe even just walking at lunch. I'm not sure. I think I put a lot on my walk to the car and back to the car, which is like, there is a hill there, but it's not that long. Also, that's not enough exercise.
Maybe you could strap on some weights. Make it harder.
I don't know. So yeah, I think that's something to think about. And then I had monthly style goals. So part of the challenge of this is I didn't define in advance what these style goals were. It was just a little vague, like each month I want to have a style goal. And I talked about this in the last episode, my sad closet feeling. I think there's a gap between what I want to project in terms of my style and what I'm wearing and then what I experience and what I actually do. But I think part of the challenge is that I don't know exactly what it is that I want to project or what the target is. And so I know I'm tired of the same old black tennis shoes that I've been wearing. They fit my orthotics, but I think I'm ready for different shoes that also fit my orthotics. So something for spring. I just feel like I'm in a rut.
Okay.
So
it sounds like a very fun challenge. I would love to sort this all out with you. I think you need to pick a persona, like a fashion persona or two, and then we just go from there. But I understand the time challenge, and sometimes money is a challenge.
But I think you're right. If I had something in mind, then I could do versions of that at any price point, usually. And I had considered Bo Johnson from Black-ish.
Oh, that's right. What happened to that?
It feels too far from where I am.
It's too edgy, right? That's what I said.
I love it.
It's like extreme.
Yeah, like I don't think the pendulum can go that far. Like I need something halfway to Bo Johnson.
You need a different sitcom, Mom. Maybe like from Everyone Loves Raymond or something, like a different stage of life. But this also sounds like a Pinterest board that we will share.
Yes.
We can add things to it.
Yes, I'll work on it.
That's a lot of things to work on.
That's also the thing. Like, I don't know. I'm just saying this in the vein of being transparent and having an honest check-in. And I also accept that these things might not change in the next 100 days, and that's okay.
I guess the next check-in is halfway day.
Okay.
So there's the 100 day and there's halfway day. And I think that's probably when we'll do our deeper dive into our 24 for 24. So there's time, but maybe think about one or two of these things
right.
that you want to work on.
Right.
Well, I appreciated this reflection moment, and gold star to us for taking the time to reflect back and learning from how things are going so far. This was really fun.
Yes, gold star to us. Our next segment is Media Moment, where we discuss what we're currently reading, watching, or listening to. Azizi, what's the latest?
Well, I am reading The Happiness Project, and it turns out I hadn't read it before. I thought I did, but I hadn't. So I broke down, got Audible, and downloaded The Happiness Project, and it is making me so happy. Yay. To listen to it. It's really cool to hear the origin story of all of these enduring understandings about happiness that Gretchen researched and talks about and we talk about now. So to hear her learning about it, or the story of her learning about it for the first time or coming to it, is really inspiring. So that's what I am reading right now. Watching. So I watched The Greatest Night in Pop. This was something I learned about from Liz, and it was fantastic. I definitely encourage you all to watch it. It goes by so quickly. It's fun for the whole family. My husband was really into it. It felt like seeing my music idols on their first day of middle school, like Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, you know, Cyndi Lauper, all these people who I grew up with in the 80s. And they were all thrown in together into this literal room with none of their assistants. And they had this task to do. What I didn't realize is that it was overnight. It was like from 6 p.m. till like 11 a.m. the next day. So you can imagine how all the emotions of being tired, of working with people you've never worked with before, but also they were each other's idols and inspiration. So it was just fantastic. And also highlighted the process of taking something from an idea, just a thought that someone had, and then the execution and the chaos that is in between that. I often talk about this gap between idea and reality, and that space in between is something that kind of fascinates me. And that was on display there. So I highly recommend that. And I'm listening to. So just this week, I took myself to see MJ the Musical, which is a musical based on This Is It, which was a documentary of his last concert, or the production around his last concert tour that didn't actually get to happen because he passed away. But this musical, in a very skillful way, takes us through his whole history, starting from when he was in the Jackson 5, all the way through the challenges and the controversy, and then the last days of his life in such a beautiful way, with his music being the star. And the features who played young Michael were amazing. And then the actual artist who played Michael Jackson was amazing. So I felt like I was actually at a Michael Jackson concert. I did cry a little bit at the end. It was a full body experience. And I went by myself, which was kind of me. I'd never gone by myself to a live production or a concert. I wasn't sure how it was going to feel, but actually it was kind of nice. So I might do that again.
Wow. What a great list.
That's a lot.
Very musical.
More and more I realize how important music is to me and my life and my happiness. So that is definitely something I need to keep leaning into.
Those all sound really great.
Yeah. So Malika, what's happening in your world?
So last weekend, I watched the series One Day on Netflix. It's one season and it shook me. I fell in hard. It was so good. Mm. It's kind of coming of age story about two people who meet in college, and it's kind of like a will they, won't they romance, tension, friend situation. But the premise is that it's on the same day over 20 years. So pretty much each episode is one day, but then it spans from like the 80s into the 2000s. And it was so well done. I laughed, I cried, and it was just a really pleasurable experience to kind of go on the ride. And I think because that was so pleasurable, I think I hadn't watched a romance in a long time, like something really tugging at the heart in that way. That led me to kind of dust off my Kindle and find a book.
Yes.
And I just finished a romantic comedy by Curtis Sittenfeld, which was like a fictitious kind of account of a fictional like Saturday Night Live writer and her love life. And it was just really delightful. And again, it was, I read it like in my lunch break and then sometimes just when I was waiting for my child to wake up or little, again, nooks and crannies. But it was a fun read, fun and fast read. I think I'm going to stay in that genre for a little bit because it feels really satisfying and like a little escape. Mm. And then I have been listening to Wheels on the Bus.
Oh.
Lots of different versions. Not by choice necessarily, but that's just real. But there is one version. There's a group called Jules TV that Norm discovered that does a lot of nursery rhyme classics, but as trap music and hip hop.
Trap music, that's funny.
And it is so banging. It's really fun. Like, yeah. I mean, I get into it dancing and Indigo loves it, but it feels more like regular music than just kind of the Sesame Street version. So if you have a child of a certain age, you might want to look into that.
Wow. I can picture the three of you having dance parties to a trap version of Wheels on the Bus. That is very easy for me to imagine in your home. I'm glad you found that.
It's fun. All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll discuss peaks and valleys.
Okay, we're back. And we are going to discuss peaks and valleys because in life, there are always peaks and valleys. And Malika is up with a peak.
So I have been drinking iced Earl Grey tea in the morning in my floral rifle paper co tumbler that you gave me, Azizi. And it's hitting. I love it. It's funny how I think you go through phases too. We all go through phases of certain beverages in the morning. And I generally am a coffee person of late, but right now it's all about iced tea. And there's something just satisfying knowing I can count on that. And I like the way the tumbler feels in my hand. I don't know. It's one of those little pleasures that makes the day feel good. So that is my peak.
That's so nice. Such a lovely moment. Earl Grey is delicious. That's my favorite black tea.
Awesome. Very good.
It's very floral.
Azizi, what's your valley?
So I've been on spring break and that has been fantastic. But I found that my sleep habits are sliding or have slid. It's something that Tim Ferriss, who's a podcaster, longtime podcaster, would always say, which is that we tend to revert to the mean. So without any effort, we're going to slide back into our old habits very easily. And my old habit is go to bed at 12 and wake up at 8, which is fine over spring break. But then it's like, right. Harsh reality is going to hit. Probably it's better. And I know research says it's better to be consistent and to not have different swings in your sleep habits. But that is something that I will need to bring back.
Well, enjoy it while you can, while you're in it. It's your own vacation. I think it's good.
Thank you.
Sleep in. Well, that brings us to the end. Azizi, let's leave on a happier thought. What are you going to try this week?
I'm going to try to think about how I take a compliment and if I can be a little more certain and appreciative of the appreciation. What about you, Malika?
I'm going to watch The Greatest Night in Pop.
Yes.
Because I think I said that before and I haven't done it yet. So hold me to that. I want to watch it.
You're going to love it.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you like us, rate, review, tell a friend, and don't forget to follow us.
Send us a message at happierladies@gmail.com and tell us something you liked about Happier and Happier in Hollywood this week.
Our show was edited by Magnus Bjorgum, and our theme music was created by Wyatt Muncy.
And we also want to give a special shout out to Gretchen Rubin, Liz Kraft, and Sarah Fain for inspiring our conversation each week.
You can find us on Instagram at HappierLadies and on the web at HappierLadies.com, where you'll find the show notes for this episode. All right, Azizi, have a happier week.
Have a happier week, Malika.
Bye.
Bye.
They have a version of the Itsy Bitsy Spider that's like kind of about overcoming adversity and like climbing up the spout again. It's so funny.
And courage to go up that spout.
Exactly.
It's a good lessons there for all of us. That's awesome.
It's funny.
What a great list. Thanks, Malika.